do so that we will have clarity about these things. And as we sort of allow this topic to unfold itself and not jump too far ahead, that we'll have patience, that we will have a heart and mind that is receptive to this topic. And as we look at it maybe from a different way than maybe some do traditionally, that we will understand what's going on here as we seek to rightly divide the word of truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So last Sunday we started this topic and began looking at chapter 12. And I got a little bit of feedback, and I just want to say a couple just brief things as we get started here, okay? Number one, you just need to relax. I got emails this week from some folks saying, well, you didn't say this, and you didn't say that, and you didn't talk about this. And I'm like, just calm down, okay? We're going to get to those things in due course. And so what I'm going to do here, my approach to this topic, is just allow these verses to unfold as they are naturally, okay? And we will get to some of the things that people were asking me about when we get to those particular verses. I told you last time, Paul he doesn't want them. Verse 1 tells you, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Paul doesn't want them ignorant, okay? And so he's gonna talk to them about what the gifts are, who gave the gifts, why the gifts are given, how long the gifts are gonna last, and how they're supposed to function in the meantime. Until the time arrives when the gifts will cease functioning. So there it is. I said, I believe that the majority of these things here, that the way that they are spelled out here by the Apostle Paul, are dispensational in nature, okay? We understand that tongues were for a sign. We understand that the Jews require a sign. We understand that unless the Jews saw signs and wonders, they would not believe. We understand that. And I get that from a dispensational standpoint. And we'll get to all of that in due time and in due course as we go through here. But right now we're in chapter 12 and Paul is still, he's explaining some very basic things with respect to the gifts that the Corinthians needed to understand and that he did not want them to be ignorant about. Now, as we think about this, we're going to pick it up this morning at verse 4. So I'm really not saying anything this morning by way of review of verses 1 through 3, okay? So if you want that material, if you want the material on verses 1 through 3, it is on the church's website. You can have it in audio, print, or video form. Brother David, I still would appreciate a water if you would, please. Oh. All right, thank you, sir. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. He says, now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about those three verses sort of as a set. Okay? As sort of a set of verses. When you get to verse 4, you are at the beginning of a new paragraph. Okay? Verses 1 through 3 were a paragraph. Verses 4 through 11 are the second paragraph in this chapter. He introduced the concept. Thank you, sir. He introduced the concept in verses 1 through 3. Now in verses 4 through 11, he's going to start discussing it with more detail. Okay? So he says in verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Okay? Now, that verse on its surface is a very simple verse. Okay? If I just read that verse and I just say what that verse means and sort of repeat it back to you and paraphrase it back to you, what that's saying is that there are different kinds of what? There are diversities of gifts. There's different kinds of gifts, but even though there are different kinds of gifts, is there a different Spirit giving each gift? No, all the gifts are given by the same what? By the same Spirit, okay? So as I said, verse 4 is the beginning of a paragraph that runs through the end of verse 11. So after introducing the topic in verses 1 through 3, Paul's going to begin expounding upon that topic here in verses 4 through 11. Now, notice what it says in verse 4. It says, now there are. Very emphatic statement. He says, there are. That statement, the verb there are, is a present indicative in Greek. Okay? That's why in English it says, there what? There are, right? He's talking about something that is occurring in the present. And so, when your English Bible says, in your King James Bible, now there are diversities of gifts, that means that there were, at the present time that Paul is writing this, were there diversities of gifts. Okay? So he's stating that as a present fact. So at the present time of Paul's writing 1 Corinthians, There were functioning in their midst, in the church at Corinth, a diversity of gifts. Okay? Now, the idea there, if you look at verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts. The word diversities there. If you look up the word diversities, it's an older word that is the plural of the word diversity. It's the word diversity. Diversities is talking about there are, you know, more than one. The word that is translated here, diversities, occurs only 3 times in the New Testament, okay? And they're all right here in these 3 verses. That's why I said we're going to kind of take these as a set. So let's look at verse 4. Notice, and there are diversities of what? Gifts. Look at verse 5. And there are differences of what? The word translated differences in verse 5 is the same word translated diversities in verse 4. Then you look at verse 6, and he says, and there are diversities of what? Operations. Again, that's the same word. So if I want to understand what is a diversity, what does that word mean in the Scripture, the diversity there is defined for you in the next verse as a what? Difference, right? So are there different gifts that are given? There's a diversity of gifts. Does everybody have the same gift in Corinth? Okay? So understand the concept, right? So again, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6, they all use the same word. In verses 4 and 6, the word is translated diversities. In verse 5, it's translated differences. Now, the King James translators, they did that on purpose. If you read the preface to the 1611, they tell you that they did not lock themselves into a principle of rigidity in terms of rendering Greek and Hebrew words into English, okay? That if there was a, and they did that on purpose. They did that on purpose so as to enrich the text, right? Imagine, you know your English teachers, right? If you had the word diversity in 3 sentences in a row, they'd tell you needed to find a new what? A new word, right? Well, the translators of your Bible, they knew that. And so they go diversities, differences, diversities to give you a diverse reading. Ooh, you liked that, didn't you? Okay. So, Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language defines the word diversity as difference, unlikeness, or variety. Okay? So if you look at verse 4, what Paul's simply saying is that there are diversities of gifts. There's a variety of gifts. Did everybody have the same gift? Okay? So according to what Paul is saying here, there was a variety or a difference, gifts that were being given at the time of his writing this, okay? But then look at the verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts. What's the next word? But. So there's a contrast here. So is there a variety and diversity of gifts? Yes. But is there a variety or difference of spirits giving these gifts? No. He clarifies that. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same what? Spirit. The same Spirit, one Spirit, the one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, in this case, God the Holy Spirit is the one who is giving, distributing, as we'll see later in the passage, He is the one that is distributing the gifts, right? Now, He is one, there is only one Spirit, but that Spirit is distributing or dispensing here a variety or different gifts to different people. Okay? So understand that while there is a diversity of gifts in verse 4, there's only how many spirits doing this? One. And the Spirit that is doing it is God the Holy Spirit, as the verse identifies. Okay? Now, that might seem to you to be somewhat basic. But I think if you need to understand or recall or refresh your memory about who he's addressing here. The Corinthians have a lot of things wrong. Could you foresee the possibility, given verse 2, where he says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols as you were led, that they might have the idea that there are a bunch of different spirits that are doing this. Okay? So he clarifies this issue for him and he says, there's only what? One Spirit, and the Spirit that is doing it is dispensing a diversity of gifts, but it's still the Holy Spirit. It's still the same Spirit doing it. Okay? Then you go to verse 5. Notice verse 5 starts with the word and. So it's an addition. And there are differences of what? administrations, but the same Lord. So, and, the and at the beginning of verse 5 is in addition to what he just said in verse 4. So in verse 4 he says there are diversities of gifts. Now in verse 5 he's telling you, or telling them, and therefore us, that there are differences of what? Administrations. Now this is not talking about the difference between the Bush administration, the Obama administration, and the Trump administration. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about administrations in the Scripture. There are different administrations. There are different things that are going on, and we need to make sure that we understand this. Okay? The English word administrations here is a translation of the word called diakonai, and this word occurs 34 times in the Greek text supporting the King James Bible, and is variously translated as ministry 16 times, ministration 6 times, ministering 3 times, and then it has a miscellaneous translation 9 times. So we need to look at some of these so that we can understand this. Hold your hand here and come over to Acts 1. Hold your hand there and come over to Acts 1. So there are different administrations, Paul is saying. Okay? Acts chapter 1, look at verse 17. Acts chapter 1, verse 17. Talking here about Peter and the discussion here about who's going to replace Judas after Judas hung himself and so forth. Verse 17, and he was numbered with us and had ordained part of this what? Ministry. Was Judas part of the 12? Was he part of the ministry? Was he part of that group of apostles that the Lord Jesus Christ picked, chose, and selected during his earthly ministry to accompany him as he went out and preached the gospel of the kingdom to the nation of Israel? Judas was, right? Notice that Judas had been ordained part of this what? Ministry. That word ministry there, that's the same word that's translated administration in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Come over to Acts 6. Come over to Acts chapter 6. Come over to Acts chapter 6. Look with me at verse 1. Acts chapter 6 verse 1. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, and there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in the daily what? Ministration. Now, let me just ask you a fundamentally basic question. Is this talking here about the same ministration that Judas had in the previous verse? No, it's a different what? It's a different ministry. It's a different ministration. It's a different administration. It's talking about a different ministry that had been given here, okay? Here they're talking about as the Jewish Kingdom Church has sold all that they have and is possessing all things in common here, and the administration is taking place to the people and so forth. There was a problem and some people weren't being treated fairly. And so what they're going to do here is they're going to identify deacons who are going to have the function and the capacity and the ministry to take care of the waiting on people and making sure people have what they need so that the apostles can devote their time to study and preaching. Okay? So that we see a different ministration here that is identified. Come over to Acts chapter 20. Come over to Acts chapter 20. Go over to Acts chapter 20, look with me at verse 24. Very famous verse. Most of you probably could quote this verse. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 24. Now this is Paul, and he says here, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry," there it is, "which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, let me ask you a question. Did Judas receive, during the earthly ministry of Christ, did he receive a ministry? Yeah, the ministry that he received was to testify of the gospel of what? The kingdom. Now Paul, subsequent to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Christ's ascension up into heaven, the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and the fall of the nation of Israel, has Paul now received a new ministry? The ministry that Paul's received here, he identifies, is to testify and to preach the gospel of what? The grace of God. So, is it very clear that there are various administrations and ministries that God is giving throughout Scripture. Come over to Romans 11. Come over to Romans chapter 11. Look with me at verse 13. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. This one is very interesting to consider. How many people out there in the church at large believe that Peter and the 11 made a mistake when they picked Matthias to be the replacement for Judas? Okay? They think they made a mistake and that God had to fix it when He chose who? Paul later on, right? Well, did Judas have an office? Did Judas have an administration? Did he have a ministry that he had been selected unto from which he fell through his action, right? And so then they picked Matthias. Paul didn't meet the qualifications in Acts chapter 1. And Paul is going to tell you that he has a different office. He has a different ministration. He has a different ministry than what Judas had. Look at verse 13. He says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." Then he says, "I magnify mine office." The word office is the same word that's translated ministration. It's the same word that's translated ministry. It's the same word that's translated administration in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Did Paul have a ministry, a ministration, an administration given to him? Did he have an office that he held? Okay? So like I said, we can think about that in human terms, right? We can think about that in terms of our own government, how each successive president has their own quote-unquote what? Administration, right? Well, are there various administrations in the Scripture that God ordained? All right? One more on this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. But if the ministration of death, well, there's an administration. But if the how'd you like to be ministering under the ministration of death? But the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious. By the way, what's he talking about there when he says the ministration of death? He's talking about that Mosaic law of time past that had been written and engraven in what? Stones. He says, Paul calls it, he says, "But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of what?" Or who? The Spirit. "Be rather glorious. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in what?" Paul's contrasting there two different administrations. The ministration of death, written and graven in stones, which he also calls the ministration of condemnation, with the ministration of the Spirit and the ministration of righteousness that have been committed to who? To him, to Paul. Okay? So you have different ministrations. You have various administrations in the Scripture. The word "there" is used four times to describe two different what? Two different administrations. So with all that in mind, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 5. There are differences of administrations. Did we show you that? Okay? What's the next word? But the same what? So, just as there were diversities of gifts in verse 4, Paul's pointing out in verse 5 that are there differences of administration. Okay? The diversities of gifts in verse 4 were dispensed by the same what? Spirit. Whereas, and in addition to, I should say, the differences in administration are given by the same what? Did the same Lord who called Judas appear to Saul of Tarsus? You following that? Okay. So it's not like a different Lord appeared to Judas than appeared to Paul. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that, yes, There are different administrations that have been given, but they've been given by the same one, by the same Lord. Verse 6. And, so again, in addition, there are diversities of operations. Now, that's not talking about the difference between brain surgery and heart surgery. Okay? It's talking about something else. So in addition to a diversity of gifts in verse 4 and different administrations in verse 5, there was also at the time here of Paul's writing a diversity of operations. There is not much to go on here in terms of trying to really understand what this word means. We're going to look it up in an English dictionary and we're going to try to understand what operations mean. But if you would, hold your hand there. Well, no, don't hold your hand there. Just go over to verse 10. Same chapter, go to verse 10. You see where it says to another, the working of what? The word that is translated there, working, is the same word that is translated operations in verse 6. Okay? So, basically what this is talking about is, basically the word operations is talking about a thing that is wrought. Okay. The English word operation means, among other things, the act or process of operating, agency, the execution of power, physical, mechanical, or moral. So let's look at this and try to understand this. Come back to Psalm 28. Come back to Psalm 28. So the word operations with an S on the end of it, only occurs this one time. The only other time that the word translated operations occurs is in verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, where it's translated as working. But there are other instances in the Scripture where the word operation without the S is used that helps us to understand what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians. So again, you have to compare verse with verse. You have to compare Scripture with Scripture. Look at Psalm 28, look at verse 5. Okay? Notice what it says. Because they regard not the works of the Lord. Now watch. Nor the what? Operation of His hands. So the works of the Lord, according to the psalmist here, are the result of the operation of the Lord's what? Hands. Does that mean the Lord had His hands in that thing? Was He active? Was He working? Was He doing something? Okay? That's the concept. Okay? Come with me to Isaiah 5. Come over to Isaiah 5. Isaiah chapter 5. This one is very clear. We have the musicians here on Sunday morning, and who is operating the instruments? The musicians are, right? If the piano just sits there and nobody plays the keys, is it going to make any noise? No. If the guitar just sits here and Kurt doesn't strum it and pick it and do what he does with it, is it going to make any noise? So there's an operation there. There's something that is requiring some hands-on experience, okay? Look at Isaiah chapter 5, look at verse 12. The harp and the viola and the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the what? The operation of His hands. Notice there's a comparison there, right? If an instrument is going to be made to make sound and to make music, somebody is going to have to operate it, right? And so what Isaiah is doing here is he's making a contrast. It was the Lord operating. Was He doing something? Okay? So the idea of the variety of operations is referring to the different ways that God has what? Worked. The different ways that God has been involved in things. Come with me to Colossians chapter 2. Come over to Colossians chapter 2 and look at verse 12. Actually, we need to start here at verse 9 and kind of get a running start into this one. Verse 9. For in Him, that's Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You're like, huh? Verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him, now watch, through the faith of the operation of who? Who is the working element making those spiritual realities function and a reality for you? Is it you, is it me, or is it God? It's God doing it, right? God is the operative force. God is the one who is doing the working on our behalf here. When you think about our death, our burial, and our resurrection with Christ, and our identification in that, and you think about how we've received the circumcision made without hands, that something spiritual has occurred. God is the operative force. He performed an operation, as it were. He worked a spiritual thing on all believers here that He's talking about in verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him, through faith of the operation of God. Notice that it's the operation of who? It's His operation. It's His work. It's what He was doing, okay? Who hath raised Him from the dead. Was God the Father operative and working in the resurrection of Christ? And then also in our identification with Christ in His what? Resurrection. So there's something there that is related to the operation of God. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Folks, has God done a lot of different things? Has God been active and working in a lot of different ways in Scripture? Okay? So we have here, verse 6, there are diversities of operations. What's the next word? But, again, contrast. But it is the same God which worketh what? All in all. So, in verse 4, do we have diversities of gifts? In verse 5, do we have differences of administration? In verse 6, do we have diversities of operations? Okay? Now, I want you to notice again the contrast, as I just said, between the difference, between the diversities of operations and the same God who is working all in all. Even though God operated different ways, who was still the operative force? God was. Okay? God chooses to operate one way in one instance and a different way in another instance, but it's still the same God who's what? Who's working and who's operating, who's doing the activity here. So in other words, God was working in all manner of operations in the saints. Okay? But notice what it says. He says there at the end of the verse, he says, but it's the same God which worketh all. The first all is referring to all the different what? Operations. So all the who's responsible for all the different operations? But the verse doesn't stop there. It says, all in what? All. So God is not only responsible for the operation, He's responsible for the work that's going on in the what? In the person. So it's all in what? Folks, is God working today in the dispensation of grace? Yes, He's working today during the dispensation of grace. He's working in us all. He's working in us and through us through His what? Through His Word. Okay? Now, I don't want to lose sight, though, of the topic that He's addressing here. Okay? But you need to notice something else, it seems to me, about verses 4, 5, and 6. And this is another reason why I think these verses go together here, sort of a triad here. In verse 4, notice, and there are diversities of gifts, but the same what? Spirit. Verse 2, there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Verse 6, there are diversities of operations, but the same what? You notice that all three members of the Godhead are involved in this. Okay? God the Father, God the Son, the Lord, and God the Holy Spirit, all three members of the Godhead are involved in what is going on here, according to what Paul is saying. They are identified, and they are involved, and they are active in the process. That are the processes here that Paul is talking about. Okay? Now, with all that in mind, now look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man the profit withal. So I want you to see what he just did. Okay? He started the chapter by talking about how he doesn't want them in verse 1 to be ignorant of what? Spiritual gifts. Okay? Verse 2, he identified their past as Gentiles and how they worship dumb idols. No life to those idols. We studied that last Sunday. Verse 3, he talks about that he wants them to understand some things. Because now that they are worshiping God, are they worshiping a God with life? Are they worshiping a God with vitality? Okay? And now he illustrates that by giving them three illustrations. He says, the Spirit's giving gifts. The Son, there's different administrations, but the same what? Lord. And number three, there's a diversity of operations, but it's the same what? So now are they serving a God who's alive and living and active? This God is giving gifts. This God has had a variety of administrations. This God has operated in different what? Ways, in contrast to the gods of these dumb idols who they used to what? Used to worship, right? So now that he's brought this up, notice how he's going to focus their attention now in verse 7 back to the topic of spiritual gifts. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So he mentions what the Lord's done. He mentions what God the Father's done. But now he focuses them back here on what God the Holy Spirit is what? Doing. Okay? I hope you follow that sort of logical structure. I see logical flow and structure here to what Paul is saying about this topic as he begins to explain it to the Corinthians. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So at the time of Paul's writing, God the Holy Spirit was manifesting Himself in Corinth via the gifts. Okay? You need to notice the connection between verses 4 and 7. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same what? Spirit. Now verse 7 directs your attention back to that from verse 4, but the manifestation of the Spirit. So what he's going to be talking about now is what who is doing specifically. What the Holy Spirit is doing specifically. Okay? Is it true that God the Son had, that there were different administrations and that there were different operations? Is that true? But that's not what he's talking to them about specifically here. He's talking to them specifically about the issue of the gifts and what the Holy Spirit is doing. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Okay? Now, so through the diversity of gifts, from verse 4, through the diversity of the gifts, the Spirit was manifesting Himself now in verse 7 to every what? Man. Now, does that say only those who had all their sin confessed? Did that say anything about those who had no sin in their life? Did it say any of that? What did it say? It said in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Present tense. Is given to who? Every man, the prophet, with all. Okay? So the diversity that verse 4 is talking about, that the Spirit's working, is now amplified in verse 7. And you're told that the manifestation, the various manifestations, the diversity of gifts that the Spirit is working, that they're given to every what? Now, in case you think that that meant that every believer at Corinth had every gift, you need to read the next verse. Okay? For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And so on, right? So if language means anything, then that means that all these people have the same gift. No. as you talk about the variety and the diversity of gifts, is the Spirit giving to every person a particular manifestation? He is, but they're not all getting the same one. They're not all getting the same gift. They're not all getting the same manifestation. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So, the English word manifestation means the act of disclosing what is secret, unseen, or obscure. Discovery to the eye or understanding, the exhibition of anything by clear evidence display is the manifestation of the power of God in creation. So, I'm going to preview something here for you that we're going to talk about later, but it's the following. When I read this, I don't see anything here about anybody taking a spiritual gifts test online to figure out what their gifts are. I don't see anybody here with any question about what their gift was. Because what Paul is talking about here is very particular empowerments and ways that God the Holy Spirit was manifesting Himself in these people. Okay? They didn't have to go figure it out. They didn't have to go wonder. Look, I won't give you the results yet, but in preparation for this, I went online and took 4 different spiritual gifts inventories. Because I don't know what my gifts are. You'll be happy to know that I have the gift of apostle. In case you were wondering, I have 4 of them said I'm an apostle. So in case you're wondering, none of them called me the pontiff yet. So hopefully that doesn't happen. I'm joking, okay? Calm down. I'm not joking, though, that it said that I had the gift of apostle. That's what the inventory told me. All 4 of them said that. Now, that whole thing that we do today is not at all what is going on here. Is the whole, notice what verse 7 is saying. The manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit came upon somebody and manifested Himself in a very specific, particular way and how He was going to work with and through that person. One was given one gift, another a different gift, and so on and so forth, as the next verses are going to say. But there wasn't any, oh gee Lord, what's my gift? They knew what their gift was because the Holy Spirit manifested Himself in that person in that way. There wasn't any ambiguity about this, what Paul's talking about here. The idea of manifest, again, is disclosing in a very visible way something that had previously been unknown. So imagine you're a Corinthian and you get saved, and now all of a sudden you have this spiritual gifting, this spiritual empowerment that's allowing you to do this thing that you heretofore were not able to what? Not able to do. The idea of manifestation, hold your hand there and come over to 2 Corinthians 4. The other thing I like about the spiritual gift tests online is how they make up gifts that aren't mentioned in the Bible. You have the gift of greeting at church. You have the gift of stacking chairs after the fellowship dinner. Okay, I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but I'm serious. They make stuff up. And then they say these are real gifts that the Bible never even mentions. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, "But ye have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully," notice, "but by" what? "Manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Did Paul manifest, make known, and reveal the truth? Okay? Come over to Romans 16. One of the reasons Paul did that is because he had truth manifested to him. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. "Now to him that has the power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery," notice, "which was kept secret since the world" what? "Began," verse 26, "but now is made" what? "Manifest." Is God now manifesting and declaring information about His plan and what He was going to accomplish that in time past had been a secret? So you understand what the word manifest what? Means. Go to Colossians 1. Go to Colossians 1, look at verse 25. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made what? Is Paul, is the Holy Spirit today, is the Godhead declaring information today through the ministry of Paul and his office that they did not make known or disclose or reveal before that point? So do you understand what the word manifest means? The word manifest means to make known things that had previously been what? Unknown. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12. So God the Holy Spirit had taken these Gentiles who used to worship dumb idols in the context, and now He is manifesting Himself in them. In every one of them. That's what the verse is saying. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation is given to only those who have all their sin confessed. Is that what it said? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone who is in good financial standing with the church. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone who does their duty in the assembly. No. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Every man. Every single one of these people here in Corinth who are now receiving a manifestation of the Holy Spirit used to, the vast majority of them used to be Gentiles in verse 2 who worshiped what? Dumb idols. And now on the basis of the grace of God and the gospel of grace, the Godhead is now taking these guys that used to be the enemies of God, and now not only has He saved them, not only has He justified them, but God the Holy Spirit is manifesting Himself in and through them. Through the gifts. You following that? Now we're going to learn there's a reason why this is happening. We're going to get to that, but right now we're just understanding what He's saying now. Okay? Now, look at the end of verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for his own personal benefit and fulfillment. Is that what it said? It's given to every man to profit. Let's stop there. Is there something about these gifts that was absolutely essential and necessary at the time they're being given here for these people to have, for these people to profit? Okay. The manifestation of the Spirit was supposed to profit. But profit who? What's the last word in verse 7? If Paul is a southerner, before there was such a thing. Okay? Southerners, they say y'all. Paul says with all. Y'all is a combination of you and what? All. With all is a combination of with and what? All. It's a real English word. Go look it up. With all. Okay? So, the manifestation of the Spirit. Now listen to me. The manifestation of the Spirit was not given to a person for their own personal private edification, enjoyment, and fulfillment. Okay? So it wasn't like, well, it's given to me so I can go off in my prayer closet and edify myself. That wasn't what it was for. It was given to every man for the profit, for the benefit of who? The whole assembly. with all, everyone, all the saints. So God the Holy Spirit, as He looks at the Corinthians, He gives a gift to this person, He gives a different gift to this person, and He gives a different manifest differently to this person, and so on and so forth. So that when all of them are together, do they have everything they need to be profitable? Okay? So I'm going to submit to you right now, that is a very different understanding of spiritual gifts than what most people have. Especially certain gifts, like tongues and prophecy and so on and so forth, where people take the opinion that this is my own personal private prayer language, and I'm going to go into my closet and I'm going to pray by myself unto the Lord, and I'm going to edify who? Myself. Number one, that's never what gifts were for. Number two, that's not why they were given. They were the people that had the gift of tongues. They had the gift of tongues, not to edify themselves, but for the profit of who? With all, everybody. The word with all, I said it again, it's a combination of the words with and all, and it means, if you look it up, it means along with the rest. It means in addition. It means besides, or moreover, or likewise, or as well. So everyone received, every man received the manifestation of the Spirit here, not for the edification of themselves, but for the profit of who? Everyone in the assembly. Hold your hand there and come over to Colossians 4 quickly. Colossians chapter 4. Start at verse 1. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. What's the first word in verse 3? When he says, with all praying for us, who is he talking to? He's talking to all the Colossians. Right? With all, in that context, means who? All the saints at Colossae. They're all to pray together for who? For Paul. So I understand. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12. The gifts, verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Okay? So the gifts were not given for the profit of the individual. Because like the Corinthians always do, what are we going to learn that they're doing? They're going to glorify themselves in their own giftings. And then what they're going to do is they're going to say, well, this gift is better than this gift, and that gift is better than this gift, and if I have this gift, that means I'm more spiritual, you know, I'm more spiritual than you are because I got this gift and you only got that gift, and as a result, and what are they going to do? They're going to start to take the thing that the Spirit gave them in their carnality. What are they going to do? They're going to take the thing that the Spirit gave them, not for their individual benefit, but for the benefit of what? Everyone. And they're going to now use that very thing to start turning it into a ranking status symbol in the assembly of who has what gift and who therefore is more important than somebody else. That's what they're going to do. So a person's individual gifting here was to work in concert, was to work in harmony with everyone else's individual gift or manifestation for the benefit of who? Of all of them. Okay? So these gifts were not given to people to glory in themselves or in what they had or what somebody else didn't have. They're given to them for the express purpose of making it so that they will be able to work and function together for the benefit of and the profit of who? All of them. Now, let's just look. I'm not going to attempt this morning to explain all these gifts. Okay? I'm going to try to do that a little bit next Sunday, but I just want to read the rest of this paragraph and comment on it a little bit before we close. Look at verse 8. So, verse 7 said that the manifestation of the Spirit was given to who? Okay? given to every man to profit who? So now Paul's going to break it down. He's going to simplify it. So verse 7 is sort of a, here's what's happening on the big level. Now in the next verses, he's going to talk about what's happening on the individual what? Level. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge. Sorry, the word of wisdom. So did everybody have the word of wisdom? No. To another, the word of knowledge. And in case you're not following it, by the same what? So the same Spirit that gave one guy the word of knowledge is the same Spirit that gave another guy the word of what? Wisdom. Is there a diversity there? Is there a variety there? But they're being given by how many spirits? One. So one guy has the word of knowledge, another guy has the word of knowledge. Verse 9. To another, faith. Now that's not faith that saves you from your sin when you trust Christ. That's a supernatural type of what? Faith. So one has the word of wisdom, one has the word of knowledge, one has faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Notice how almost every time he's making sure they don't miss that the same Spirit is the one that's what? Doing this. Okay? To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Now, I am going to stop there and just make one point. When the Holy Spirit was giving the gifts, did everybody speak in tongues? Uh-oh. There are churches in existence today, there are denominations in existence today that will tell their people that tongues is the manifestation of the second filling of the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't spoken tongues yet, there's something wrong with you spiritually. What did those verses just say? Those verses just said that even when the gifts were being given, everybody wasn't going to want to speak in tongues. Okay? Why? Because the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. One's given the word of wisdom, one's given the word of knowledge, one faith, one healing, one tongues, one interpretation of tongues, and so on. Okay? Now watch how verse 11 is going to wrap this up and bring you back to the original point. Verse 11. But all these what? All these gifts. What gifts is he talking about? Knowledge and wisdom and so on and so forth, right? But all these worketh. The word worketh, if you remember again, is the same word translated operation. Thank you. Operation back in verse 6. So, all these worketh that one and self-same what? Spirit. So, is there a diversity? Verse 4 said, there's diversity of gifts, but the same what? So what he's doing in verse 11 is he's bringing closure to what he's talking about in this whole paragraph. And he's saying, but all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit. What's the next word? Dividing. Well, interesting. Why would he be dividing? Because he is dividing out the diversity of what? Gifts. Dividing only to those who have all their sin confessed. To every man, that takes you back to verse 7. You see how verse 11 triangulates with verse 4 and verse 7? Okay? He says, verse 11, but all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally, that's individually, as they request. As he was. Who is determining what gift someone got? The Spirit. Who's dividing the gifts and distributing them amongst the Corinthians? The Spirit is. There wasn't, pick me. I want to interpret. Pick me. Please. Oh, I really want a word of knowledge. It would be great to know whether the Cubs are going to repeat in the World Series. I wish I had a word of knowledge. If I had a word of knowledge on that, I'd place a bet right now. Okay? I'm joking, okay? You guys are calling me a little uptight this morning, okay? I don't know what that's about. They weren't saying, oh, I want this. Oh, Lord, please, I want... No, that's not the way this is working. God the Holy Spirit was looking at each individual Corinthian saint and saying, I'm going to give you this one, I'm going to give you this one, I'm going to give you this one, and I'm going to give them to you in the way I'm giving them to you so that when they're all together functioning the way they're supposed to, everybody can what? Profit. That's what they were for. That's what's going on in these verses. Now, we are only at verse 11 of chapter 12. Okay? We are only at verse 11 of chapter 12, and there are still the rest of chapter 12, all of chapter 13, and all of chapter 14, where he's going to continue to discuss this same one. But the first thing he wants them to get is that they used to be Gentiles, now they're believers, they used to worship dumb gods, now they worship the living God, and is there now spiritual life and capacity? So instead of them thinking in a Gentile mindset that there is a different God or goddess distributing to them, they need to understand that all of this is coming from how many spirits? One. And they need to understand that who is choosing how the gifts are being distributed to every man? The Spirit of God is. And in that, verse 11, but all these work at that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. When I look at verse 11, I see in the first half of verse 11, verse 4, and I see in the second half of verse 11, verse 7. And he's wrapping that up, because now what's he going to say? Now he goes into the... See, everyone wants to read verses 12 and following, not realizing that verses 1 through 11 came first. Because all this discussion here, verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members and so on and so forth, all that discussion is given within the context of spiritual gifts that have been distributed by God the Holy Spirit severally to every man as He what? So what he's doing is he's working up to addressing the idea that just because one person has one gift and a different person has a different gifting doesn't mean that one of them is more important than anyone else. You follow that? I hope so.
What I have today is the gift of brevity by 5 minutes. So we're not going to go overboard on the gift of brevity. Verse 11, but all these gifts work at that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Folks, when we get to the topic of spiritual gifts, The professing church has made a mess out of this topic because they haven't paid attention to the details of what's actually being said about it. Okay, now, this, as I said, this is just the beginning of what we're going to be discussing on this. But you're going to want to come back next week. Next week, I'm going to try my best to go down through those different things that are mentioned there and just comment briefly on what some of those things were. So, for example, what's the word of knowledge and all of that? I'm gonna try to explain some of that to you to the best of my understanding. Some of it I will confess to you, I don't fully know what each one of those things are. Some of them are easier than others. And then after that, then we'll start looking at verses 12 and following. But the reality is, folks, is that there's a lot of confusion about this topic. Even in the Grace Movement, there's confusion about this topic. And we need to have clarity about it from the Scriptures. Lord, we thank You for this time we can spend together in Your Word. We pray that as we are looking at this preparatory work for later study on this topic, that we'll get the basics straight, that we'll get clarity on these basic elemental aspects of this, so that when we get on to more advanced information, we'll be able to make the appropriate conclusions about this topic. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.